I want to read just a little bit in the book of Luke, 17th chapter. The book of Luke, 17th chapter. I want to say tonight that I'm thankful for every one of you. I'm especially thankful for our visitors that comes from so far. Also for the ladies that we have out here. Some of them was with us the other night, but I don't believe all of them was. I believe we got some new ones, have we? A couple of new ones. Would you tell us their names, please, ma'am? Well, we're certainly glad to have you folks here with us. How do you appreciate these folks?
Amen.
Do you really appreciate these folks? Let me see your hand. You know, people get in a rut and they say, yeah. But do you really?
Amen.
Say it again if you do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Make them to know it. That reminds me, when you said that, something come across my mind. It reminds me of Brother Branham one time. He was going up to the store, you know, and his wife met one of her old friends, and she said, huh? And it upset Brother Branham, and he said, well, that ain't no way to greet a friend. So that's a real, genuine friend. You know, y'all say, well, hello there. You know, a real, genuine hello. Ain't nothing wrong with that, is there? So then we ought to give a real, genuine welcome. Isn't that right? Praise God. I appreciate these people. All right, in chapter 17, the book of St. Luke, let's read just a little. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and girt thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. You know, there's a wonderful thought here that I want to bring out. Jesus, using the thought here concerning faith in his parabolic speech, they came to Jesus. They said to Jesus, said, Lord, increase our faith. Now, how many of you tonight would like for God to increase your faith? Let me see your hand. I like that, don't you? See, they said, Lord, increase our faith. Now, you say, what do you get out of that, Brother Pike? This is what I see in it. They said, Lord, increase our faith. By saying that, that makes me to know that you can have faith, you know, but you can use an increase. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I want you to see something here. Jesus turned to them and he said this. So he looked around at them. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus said, why, if you had the faith as a grain of mustard seed, said you could say to the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up and be thou planted in the sea, and said it would obey you. Isn't that right? In the book of Mark, what did Jesus tell them? The 11th chapter, Jesus told them, said you can say what you will. It don't matter what it is. Say anything that you will.
And it'll be done unto you if you believe. Now, a lot of people would say, well, I know that I've got faith, Brother Pike. But they say, my problem is that I just don't know what God's will is and what God's will is not. Therefore, I don't know how to use my faith. I don't know when to use my faith. And I don't get what I want because I don't know when to believe and when not to believe. I don't know who to believe for, who not to believe for. But see, Jesus didn't put it on such flimsy basis, did he? Jesus didn't put it on such flimsy basis. Somebody said, well, if I pray for this fellow, I don't know whether he's supposed to get healed or not. How can I believe? But God never put faith on such flimsy basis as that. When Jesus gave the atonement at Calvary, he put faith on the basis of let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. If you go through a hospital, you say, who's eligible to be healed? Anybody you can get to believe. Somebody said, well, you mean that drunkard, that harlot, that liar, that murderer, that cheat? If you go down through the prison, who's eligible to get healed? Anybody you can get to believe. Hallelujah. That's what makes it so rich. You don't have to try to figure out who's eligible and who's not eligible. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me if a man murdered a man that he could turn around and believe in God? I mean to say that if the man murdered someone, and if he could turn around and if he can believe in God, then God will purify his heart. By faith, I don't care if he's murdered 15 and just laid the gun down. If a man can believe, you pray for a lot of people, they don't get healed. Why? Because they can't believe. They've done things that seared their conscience with a hot iron. They've done things that their lives won't let them believe. But if they can believe, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Somebody tonight would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't know whether it's God's will to heal me or not. That's why you don't ever get healed, folks. If you don't know whether it's God's will to heal you, how are you going to ever get healed? Come on. Some of you spend your life in sickness. Like I said today, the Bible said not to be ignorant of the will of God. Isn't that right? Now, some of you don't lose your faith over my shirt. Somebody gave me this shirt today and I decided to wear it. If it displeases you, I'll take it off, you know, at a later date. Now, it is a true fact that those things that's wrong with you mentally, spiritually, and physically, those things are not the will of God. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I'm like Job. Well, that's all right. If you're like Job, that's fine. Get up out of the ash heap, say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, overcome it. That's what Job did. Don't sit there and die. Somebody would say, well, it's happened to me like it did the leopards. Well, it's all right. But do like the leopards did. When one said to another, why sit we here till we die? Get up, make a move for God. God has no delight in man being sick, dying, or the powers of evil dominating his life. That's not the pleasure of God. What is the pleasure of God? That we overcome every obstacle of life. God didn't have any pleasure in Israel's defeat when they stood around in the valley and the giant on the hillside giving out his threats. God didn't have any pleasure in that. Oh, Brother Saul, too much of a coward to go up there and fight. God reached back and got a shepherd boy. The shepherd boy got him a little sling and come from center with it. Hallelujah. It wasn't God's will for Israel to be in power, in defeat, and in fear. And God raised up a leader. He came out with a little stone. When that fella kept saying, I'll do this and I'll do that, And Saul, standing over there trembling in his boots, that little shepherd boy, he listened to everything he had to say. Then when he got through saying, I'll do this and I'll do that, David said, now let me tell you what I'm going to do. You don't tell me what you're going to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hello, giants, and I'll take you and feed your carcass to the buzzards, to the birds. David said, you just wait through, I'll take your head off of your shoulder. Amen. He said, I got in a fight with a bear and I got in a fight with a lion. I whipped both of them and said, I can whip you too. Hallelujah. That's the way it's supposed to be, folks. Where's our courage? When they were on the little boat, it looked like they'd be drowned. The waves raging. And they were whining and saying, Lord, don't you care? Lord, can't you tell I'm dying? Don't you know I've got problems? I'm weak. Jesus said, where is your faith at? Don't you remember what I told you in the word? What'd you tell me, Lord? Let the weak say I'm strong. You know, it grieves God if every day somebody comes by and says, I'm just a weak, I can't make it. I just don't know what I'm going to do. You know what you ought to do? You ought to say, God, if I die in the next 15 minutes from weakness, I'm going to confess the word and say, I'm strong with the power of your might. And in my last 15 minutes, I'm going to leave a testimony for Christ. God doesn't want us testifying of the giants. Somebody will come around and say, phew, phew. Boy, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I don't either if you don't get rid of that unbelief. We are supposed to have faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. If you're weak, have faith in God. If you're dying with cancer, have faith in God. If you're in poverty, have faith in God. Hallelujah. Whatever your circumstance is, have faith in God. That was Jesus' most lovable song. He sang it all the time. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? So they said, Lord, increase our faith. Now, I can picture him in my mind like this. You're telling me to increase your faith. You know, he just as have to say, well, if you had any faith at all, you could move a mountain. What do you mean, increase your faith? You understand what I'm saying? They said, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus just as have to say, if you've got faith, it's so small, it's even smaller than a grain of mustard seed. Hey, so that's about the smallest seed, you know. In other words, Jesus said, where is your faith? That's what it amounted to. Where is your faith? How can I increase something you don't have? You see what I mean? Why, he said, if you had any faith at all, you could move a mountain. Now, somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that those fellows was following him and they didn't believe at all? They believed, but they didn't have the God faith. See, they're talking about two different kinds of faiths. You understand what I'm saying? See, Jesus confounded them. They more or less said, Lord, you mean to tell me that I've been with you all this time and I don't have any faith? But the Bible said all men have not faith. Isn't that right? But you say the Bible tells us that God has dealt unto every man the measure of faith. That's true. All men have a measure of faith. But that's human faith. But all men have not God faith. That's why the Bible tells us to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. See, to get this kind of faith, you got to contend for it. Now you say, what do you mean? If I was a wrestler, if I was a boxer, I'd have to contend for the belt. You understand? That means fight. the devil like David did. Contend for the faith. Come on, folks. I mean, quit going around testifying to the giants. Put up an effort against the devil. Press your way in the kingdom of God. Stand up like a man and quit whining like a puppy. People whine like a little pup. They say, I can't. I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. Well, I'd love to have some of you with me and Sister Betty out on the field. Hallelujah. I say, Brother Taylor, we're fixing to take a trip. That's right. I'd pull up to the station, give me a little gas. If Brother Taylor had 15 cents, he'd pull up and get him 15 cents worth of gas. So, well, where are you going? Slap across the United States. What, on 15 cents worth of gas? Sure. Jesus fed the multitude with the fishes and the loaves, didn't he? Amen. If God fed the multitude with the fishes and the loaves, and if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then I can go across the continent with 15 men. Amen. Faith in God. Faith is a great thing, folks. You're living in the day of faith. The day when all of the work is finished. From the foundation of the world. And all you have to do is believe. I wish tonight that from the aspect of revelation or the perspective of revelation, that I had the time tonight, the strength to bring out to you the revelation of faith. There's a lot of great revelations that I preach to you. But I never remember at any time of thoroughly going into the divine revelation of faith. There is something that God wants us to know about faith. There are some things that the Christians ought to know about faith. What faith is. What God meant when he said contend for the faith. Now let's just for a few moments, let's examine the statement that Jesus made here in the book of St. Luke. Have you got time to listen just for a few minutes? In this book, he makes a statement here. He asks this question. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus said, let me ask you something. Remember, this is the answer to their question. This is the answer to their desire. See, when the disciples say something in the Bible, then listen real close for the answer. Give the more earnest heed to the answer to see what the answer is. If they heard it, and if it worked for them, then it will work for us. How do you believe that? The word the same yesterday, today, and forever, it's the same word that Jesus spoke to them, and it worked for them. Why would it work for me? One reason that it would not work. And that's because I don't hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I don't understand. I don't apply myself. I don't give the more earnest heed to what's being said to me. Now listen to what Jesus said. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus said, I want to ask you a question. Said, which one of you, having a servant, would say unto him by and by when he's coming to from the field, sit down over there, I want to give you some food. Said, which one of you would set your servant down at the table and tell him that you're going to give him something to eat? He said, you wouldn't do that, would you? Would you? No, you wouldn't do it. I used to live out in the country. Used to be a country boy. They didn't do things like that. They called the servants and then the servants served them. Then when they finished eating, then they let the servants sit down in the servant's seat. Jesus said, which of you having a servant will say unto him when he comes in from the field that I'll gird myself and serve you? But will not rest. father say unto him, gird thyself and serve me. Then after I am satisfied, then I'll feed you. Is that right? Now you see the lesson? You see what Jesus is trying to say? They said, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus said, there's a reason why you don't have faith. There's a reason why you asked me to increase your faith. They saw the great miracles, the great deliverance, the great things that Jesus did in his lifetime while he was in this world. And they were fascinated by it. And they said, Lord, we want to do that. Increase our faith so that we can do that. And Jesus said, listen, the first thing that you need to learn about faith is that faith requires some service to God. Come on, folks. You know, we love to jump up and feel like we don't have to do nothing, say nothing, obey nothing, listen to nobody, follow anything. That we can just jump up and be a great feller of faith. Isn't that right? But Jesus said faith requires some obedience, some concern, some kind of service. Is that right? In other words, there's got to be some service toward the master. Make yourself a servant unto me. Jesus was example. When he came forth, he washed their feet. He showed them the route. He said, follow me. He washed their feet. He humbled himself, got out and washed their feet, showed himself to be a servant. He didn't come in and say, yeah, thus saith the Lord, I'm God, you got to do what I say, do. Did he? He didn't come and say, yea, my daughter and son, God has called thee for a great work. Why sit around here in little Bethlehem? Come on, brethren. I'll show you what to do. Come on. Hallelujah. The prophet said, I got a bitch to dig. I got a nail to drive and a board to saw. Somebody said, Brother Pike, what's washing feet got to do with faith? What was it he said to him? He said, gird thyself and do a service unto me. Gird thyself and do a service unto me. Is that right? Folks, you need to do a service unto God. He said, this is one thing that you need to learn about faith, that faith without works is dead. You've got to render a service unto God. Which one of you will do that? He said, now. I say to you, do the things that I've commanded you to do. Is that right? Do the things that I commanded you to do. What did you command me to do, Lord? Stop your gossiping tongue. Love one another, Jesus said. Put forth some effort to love one another. Stop resenting. Stop finding fault. Stop causing division. Do you think faith is going to live in an evil heart of unbelief? Don't you know when you gossip and backbite and find fault and tear down, don't you realize that's unbelief in the word? Because your faith is shown by your works and the child is known by his doings? Don't you know if you believe the word, you wouldn't do that? That's an evil heart of unbelief. Faith will never work in a heart like that. You young fellas that run around on dope, run around with women on your mind all the time, girls, you never give any thought to God. And the old folks, they'll say, well, you're too hard on the young people, Brother Pike. You know that they've got to have their little fling at life. Sure, have your little fling at life and wind up in hell. God will give you your little fling at life. Somebody said, but they're young, Brother Pike. So was Josiah. At 8 years old, he was young. The Bible said God has perfected praise out of the mouth of ducklings. Some of you that use a hobby horse for an excuse have gone around saying, I'm young and I can't, and I'm weak. You got to understand. What we need to do is understand, all right. We need to rise up like Jesus did at the age of 12 and be about our Father's business. Hallelujah. Now, we need to render a service to God. We need to make our lives conform to the image of the Word of His Son. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about faith. Do something to stimulate your faith. Do something to wake up your faith. Now, somebody would say, but Brother Pike, the Bible said the works were finished from the foundation of the world.
I know that.
But now let's just examine it for a few minutes. What did he mean the works were finished from the foundation of the world? Does that mean that we don't have to do anything at all? No. He wasn't talking about that at all. Then what kind of works was he talking about? The works that Jesus Christ worked to bring faith within our reach. That was works that was demanded of Christ to be able to bring faith into the reach of humanity. That's why it sounds like Paul is preaching one thing and James is preaching another. Paul is over there preaching faith without works. James is over there preaching right to the contrary, it sounds like. That faith without works is dead. Paul said if it be of works, then you can boast about it. But it's the gift of God. It doesn't require any works. The works was finished from the foundation of the world. Is that right? What kind of works is he talking about? The works that God required to bring faith into the reach of humanity. The works of Jesus Christ. What kind of faith is he talking about? The faith of Jesus Christ. It doesn't require any works. The faith of Jesus Christ has the works of Jesus Christ. But what kind of faith is James talking about? The faith of humanity. And the faith of humanity requires works. Who's got enough confidence to walk up to a boss at the end of the week for whom they've never worked or by whom they've never been hired and say, give me my paycheck? Oh, somebody said, I could do it. Sure, fools could do it. But no intelligent person wouldn't do it. And even a fool wouldn't believe he was going to do it. It takes faith, my brother. But now if you're hired by him and you work all the week for him, you know that he hired you. Whereas the Bible said, go out in the vineyard and hire him. It's 11th hour. If you know that he's hired you, then you know that you're working for him. And then if you work for him soberly, sincerely, humbly, then at the end of the week you've got faith and confidence in that, right? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't really believe that that kind of faith works. I do believe it. I believe that's the kind of faith he was talking about. You say, where do you get that? Because the Bible says the gate called Beautiful. Peter walked up to the lame man, and Peter saw him sitting there lame from his mother's womb. Said that Peter spoke to him, and the man gave heed, expecting to receive something of Peter. Come on now. What was he expecting to receive from Peter? Come on. What was he expecting to receive from Peter? Was he expecting to receive healing? No. He thought Peter was going to give him an offering. Is that right? So he gave heed expecting to receive something of Peter. You say, how do you know it was an offering, Brother Pike? Because Peter said, gold and silver have I none. Hallelujah. Brother John, you don't have to feel bad. Preachers back there were just like they are today. Gold and silver have I none. People didn't share with them no more then they do now. You understand? It was a move of faith back there just like it is now. See, it was a natural faith. The man gave heed to Peter, expecting a natural gift through a natural faith. That's the kind of faith that requires some works. That's the kind of faith that requires some works. Somebody would say, well, what kind of works was he doing? Standing at the gate called Beautiful Begging Alms. That's all he knew to make a living. That was his way of working. He didn't just sit at home and die. He didn't sit at home and wait for somebody to bring him a gift. He got somebody to move him out there and beg for something. He put forth an effort like the lepers did. How do you understand what I'm saying? Stand with faith. Just plain natural faith. He gave heed expecting to receive something. Somebody would say, yes, Brother Pike, but Peter was a man of faith and power. Peter had the gift to him. That's why he was healed. It wasn't because he believed. That isn't true. That's where you're wrong. That's where you're mixed up. That wasn't why he was healed at all. Somebody said, prove it. All right. When the man was healed and Peter took his hand and he jumped up and began to run and shout and praise God, Peter said, don't look on me like that, did he? Come on, folks. I said, he said, don't look on me like I did. I didn't have anything to do with it. But he said, the faith which is by him hath made him whole. That faith in God that he had. Somebody said, oh, wait a minute, Brother Pike. That faith wasn't in God. You said that faith was natural. But the Bible said he gave heed expecting to receive something. The man expected something. It was faith. Somebody said, but now faith in God. It was faith in God because he was expecting to receive what Peter had. And Peter had God. Hallelujah. The man didn't know it was in God. The only faith in God he had was that he was a cripple and God was going to do something for him. Hallelujah. I believe that's the way he felt about it. But if he'd get out there and beg, that God would help him. You say, what makes you believe it was that kind of faith? Because why didn't he go down to the horse races and beg? The Bible said he was at the temple begging. The man must have been a religious man. He must have had some kind of conviction in God. In God's people. Is that right? He could have told him to take him over by the horse races. But the man had faith in God. Yet it was natural faith. Hallelujah. Giving heed, expecting to receive something of God. Hallelujah. Peter said, gold and silver have I none. But he said, such as I do have, give I thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And the man got up and walked. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, when Peter said that, he just jumped up from there. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Peter had to put a little works with his faith too. He said, rise up, but the man didn't rise up. Come on, folks. Peter said, rise up, but the man didn't rise up. And the Bible said, Peter took his hand. Then Peter talked to him. The man struggled to get up. When he struggled to get up, the Bible said, immediately his ankle bones received strength. Then he began to leap and praise God. If any two agree as touching anything, God will do it. Peter believed God would do it, and that man believed that God was going to give him something. And he received it. Gave heed expecting to receive, and he received. Now, Jesus said, after you've done all that I tell you to do, everything that I've told you to do, I want you to come back to me and say, now, Lord, I've done that which is my duty. I've done that which you commanded me to do. Now that I'm an unprofitable servant. Now, everybody that believes you could do that, say amen. Ain't no way in the world you could do that. It's impossible. Now, you say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? That it is impossible. When you have done the will of God, there is no way you can be an unprofitable servant. When a man has done the will of God, he cannot possibly be unprofitable. The Bible said, bind him, the unprofitable servant, and cast him into outer darkness. Jesus said, when you've done all that I've done then, or said to do, then turn in your complaint. Then come and tell me you're unprofitable. You can't do it. Brother, when you do what Jesus said do, you'll be a profitable servant. After you've obeyed what God said do, you won't be an unprofitable servant. Said do what I tell you, and then come and say, Lord, we are unprofitable. We did that which you said. Can't do it. Amen. You can't do it. Brother, when you do what God tells you to do, your light's going to shine and men's going to see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If you're not having any light, if you're not having any fruits, if you're not having anything that the world can see, something's wrong with you. You're not doing what Christ commanded you to do. You do what I tell you to do. You gird yourself and serve me. And after I've eaten, then come and say, Lord, we're unprofitable. There ain't no way. Hallelujah. You'll be a profitable servant. Men will see your light. Your fruits will be spread abroad, and the great things of God through faith will happen. Hallelujah. Why don't we do something? Somebody would say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? Rise up and do something. Rise up and go forth. Somebody would say, you mean I ought to leave Little Bethlehem? When the lepers rose up to do something, God rewarded them. Now you say, you mean I ought to rise up and leave Little Bethlehem? My brother, you don't have to leave Little Bethlehem to do something. There's plenty to be done in Little Bethlehem. Brother Atlee Beachy printed, working day and night today, his testimonies in Israel. His testimonies in the heart of men all over the nation. Everywhere his work is there. Brother Bob done a little pen work, a little artistic work. Tonight, his artistic ability, though he's sitting here in Bethlehem, his artistic ability is all over the different parts of the world. In Europe, in Palestine, all over the different parts of the world, folks. You can do something. Hallelujah. It's all right if you want to go somewhere else. Do something, that's all right, Brother Pike. Far as you feel led to do it and God told you to do it. But going somewhere else, you're not going to do any more anywhere else than you are doing here. If you won't do something here, you won't do anything there. That's why the Bible said, first be witnesses for me in Judea and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. If you'll do something for God while you're here, you'll do something for God while you're there. How do you know that? Because I've taken some of you into the islands. You didn't do anything for God when you were here, and when I got you over there, you didn't do anything for God. I took some of you in the islands that caused me trouble over here. When I got you over there, you caused me trouble over there. My brother, it's not where you are, it's what you are. You've got to be something in God. And if you've got faith, you've got faith on the home front. If you've got faith, you've got faith across the waters. Brother Michael got out here with a hoe, with a pick, a shovel. He worked. I took him over in Palestine and in Europe. He worked. He passed out tracts everywhere. Passed out literature till they picked him up, was fixing to put him in jail. Whatever you are, my brother. Hallelujah. Whatever you are on the home front, that's what you are abroad. Come on, people. If you're a gossiper, if you're a troublemaker, if you're a cause division, that's what you'll do out there. The same thing that you do here, you'll do out there. Hallelujah. If you cause me trouble here, you'll cause me trouble out there. I've taken some of you out in the tent meeting with me. You caused me trouble on the home front. When I got out there, you caused me trouble out there. Come on, folks. A man that's greedy, if you give him a penny, he's greedy. If you give him $1,000, he's greedy. You can't change the scriptures. Jesus said he that's faithful over a little, be faithful over a lot. Is that right? There's some of them that we've give gifts to, thousands of dollars. I know for a fact some of them didn't have anything. And they wouldn't give anything. And then when we gave thousands of dollars to them, did they give anything? No. It was the same way. They're always looking for somebody to give them something. But that's not the plan of God. The Spirit of God is for you to give. Give your body as a living sacrifice. Give your time, give your mind, give your service. But the reason that some of us don't ever prosper is because our mind never gets the way of trying to figure out what we are going to give and who's going to give to us and how much it's going to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Or who we can get to do it to keep from having to do it ourselves. Come on. Amen. That's the reason some of you contractors don't succeed. Some people get so lazy, they make a contractor, you're just as lazy as a contractor as you would be as a brush hand. You're not going to succeed anymore as a contractor than you would a brush hand. Brothers, you'll make a good brush hand, you'll make a good contractor. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about faith, folks. Faith without works is dead. I know tonight that we're living in a great age. I want you to listen just for a minute now. I want you to see something now. If God ended the law at Calvary, then where are we at today? Now you're going to listen. If God made an end of the law at Calvary, then where are we at today? Now listen, what did God do for Abraham? 430 years before God ever gave Moses the law, before Moses ever even came on the scene, the Bible said God had a plan to faith, and God justified Abraham by faith. And Paul caught a revelation. Is that right? Paul was born in the midst of the law. He was coming up under the law. Said I was blameless touching the law. He didn't know nothing about faith. Nobody had ever taught faith. You understand what I'm saying? Now I know that Peter and him was preaching faith because Christ had induced it to him. But I'm talking about before the Calvary. Nobody knew anything about faith. The only ones that ever spoke of faith in God was the prophets of old who made a divine connection with God. 430 years before the law ever came to Moses, God sent the word unto Abraham. And the Bible said the scriptures appeared unto Abraham. I want to show you what a day we're living in. And the scriptures appeared unto Abraham. And what happened? Abraham believed the scriptures. What was the scriptures? The Bible said the scriptures appeared unto him. What is the scriptures? Scripture is taken from the word scribing. The scribes. They call it the scribing of the scriptures. Because it was the word written by the scribes. They called it the scriptures. The scribings. Is that right? Now, you say, how do you know that? Because that's what the Spirit shows. He brings all things to remembrance. Like I brought out here one night. When you say legislation. What are you talking about, legislation? They used to take slate, make a ledger out of it. How do you know that? Because that's what the Spirit showed me. So they called it the legislate. Or the legislation. They filed it away on these things. The scriptures. But see, when they appeared to Abraham, there had never been a scribe to scribe anything. It was the word of spirit. It was the voice of the Lord. And the Bible said Abraham sat under the tree of memory in the heat of the day. And those angels came to Abraham. And they talked with Abraham. And Abraham's eyes was open and he knew there were angels of God. What did Abraham do? He never gossiped. He didn't sit there and backbite. He didn't run Lot down because he was in Sodom. But the Bible said he'd done a service to him. Said, let me wash your feet. Get some water. Wash your feet. Prepare him a meal. Oh, faithful Abraham. Hallelujah. God liked that. That was faith in action. Faithful Abraham. Somebody said, well, if an angel come to me, I would too. Oh, but my brother, there's somebody here tonight greater than an angel. Hallelujah. I said, there are sons of God here tonight. Amen. Amen. Like here a while back when I washed a man's feet and I reached over and kissed his foot. Somebody said, you're crazy. No, I'm not crazy. Amen. It's on record in heaven where I kissed the feet of Christ. Hallelujah. What is it? I believe what I'm preaching. You do it to the least of these, you do it to God. Hallelujah. Somebody said if an angel was here, Brother Pike, I'd do it. But I'll tell you, there's somebody greater than an angel here. Who's an angel? Who is that? The sons of the living God. Hallelujah. You love Jesus. So then, old brother Abraham was faithful. The Lord said to Abraham, get thee up into the mountain. How many remember Mount Moriah? God said, get thee up into the mountain. Took his son with him, is that right? Hallelujah, you love the Lord? Hard to digest, ain't it? Hard to digest. You want some heart of Jesus that eat my flesh and drink my blood? Hallelujah. So then, what was God saying to Abraham? God was testing his faith. He wanted to see if he believed. Folks, it's going to take faith to get us out of here. If we escape death, we're going to have faith in the Word. Not faith in what somebody said. Not faith in some conviction. Not faith in a denomination. But faith in the Word. It's going to take faith. So then Abraham, God said, take your son up yonder. Old Abraham wouldn't even tell Sarah. He knew Sarah didn't have that kind of faith. Said, take him on up there and kill him, Abraham. Amen. Old brother Abraham, he saddled the little ass, put the wood on, got the child and took off with his servants. Isn't that right? Amen. He didn't tell him men down at the foot of the hill what he's going to do. Well, those men had probably mobbed Abraham if he told him he's going to take that boy up there and kill him. Amen. Neither did he tell Sarah either. Amen. Amen. He took that child and he started up that man. He said, fellas, said, I'm fixing to go up here and make a sacrifice. Said, me and the son said, we'll be back in a few minutes. You tell me that ain't faith. God said, go kill him. Hallelujah. God said, go kill him. But he said, me and the Lord will go up there and me and the Lord will be back. That's faith in God. Hallelujah. You say, but how in the world could he believe that? Because even though God had told him to kill Isaac, he believed this one thing. God said through Isaac, Abraham, I'll bless all nations. He knew if Isaac was dead, he couldn't bless all nations. So Abraham believed that even if he killed Isaac, that God would still raise him up from the dead. Somebody said, oh, he didn't believe that. But he did believe that. Somebody said, how can you prove that he believed that, Brother Pike? Because when he started up the mountain, he said, I and the lad will go down and worship, and we will return unto you. Is that what he said? Somebody said, well, he knew he wasn't going to kill the child before he went up there. No, sir. Abraham meant to kill him. And Abraham took that kid up there, that child up there, to kill him. And the Bible said he raised up his hand with a knife and comes sweeping down, and only the angel of God stopped him. Even the Lord didn't know that Abraham was going to kill him. But he raised the knife. And when his hand came flashing down, a voice said, Abraham, Abraham. Man, that knife was flashing down at that little breast that he loved there. That angel hollered, Abraham, no, Abraham. I know that you fear God. Tell me what you will, Abraham, and I'll do it for you. Talking about faith, folks. We wonder why God don't do anything for us. We say, well, bless God, I got faith. Have we? Have we? Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Abraham believed God would raise him up. He meant to kill him. He meant to kill Isaac. But he had faith in God. Oh, hallelujah. God said, Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. Oh, there's never been nobody like Abraham. He said, Abraham, I'm going to call you the faithful of every one of them. The father of all of them. The chief leader. Old Father Abraham. Abraham, your faith was so great you wouldn't stop at nothing. I believe that, don't you? I believe Abraham's faith was so great in God he wouldn't have stopped at nothing. Now that's what I'm talking about. Somebody said, well, I wish I could be like Abraham. All right, I'm going to tell you how to do it. Tomorrow morning, don't come around talking about being weak and run down and puny and can't do it. Tomorrow, don't come around talking about your problems and heartaches and troubles and woes and testifying of the giants and discouraging the hearts of the people. Tomorrow, come back like Abraham did. God said it's that way, then I believe God. I believe that's the way it is. I believe it's where it's supposed to be. How do you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to close in just a few minutes. I just want to get over a thought here. Abraham, faith in God. 430 years before the law ever came. Look what faith God put in the heart of Abraham. Even before the days of Abraham, way back in the days of Enoch. Walked with God for 300 years. And the Bible said he was not, for God took him. He was translated by faith that he should not see death. And Paul spoke of Samson. Barak spoke of all the great prophets of all. The great acts of all. How that women had their dead raised to life again. Paul said it's by faith. And then when old brother Peter got confused over there about the situation, Paul went over there and withstood him to his face and said, I blamed him to his face because he was to be blamed. I see something there, folks. I don't know whether you see it or not, but God was doing something there. How many of you know that Peter had the keys to the kingdom? How do you know that he was the chief leader? Is that right? How many of you understand that? How do you know that he opened the doors to the Gentiles and to the Jews? How many know that he raised the dead, done many mighty miracles? But there was something greater than a miracle ministry. What was it? It was the revelation of Christ. It was when Paul came on the scene. When Paul went to him and said, I blamed him to his face because he was to be blamed, the man with the keys, the man that raised the dead. But Paul says, see here, Peter, I've got a revelation. Amen. Peter didn't fuss with him. I'm sure that somebody cornered Peter and said, look at here, Peter. I said, what's that fella doing over here talking to you like that? He said, brethren, said Paul says things is hard to be understood. Went on his way. In other words, he might have said, well, I don't understand it altogether. But if it's Paul, I believe it. Oh, ain't that rich? Hallelujah. Praise God, he's still my brother. But Paul had a revelation. What was the revelation? Paul said, Peter, look. Said, now let's don't frustrate the grace of God. Said, we got a thing called grace here in our midst. He said, now, you go among the Gentiles and y'all get along all right. Until the people from James, he comes over. Said, and then when they come over from the Jews' houses, you get afraid, Peter. and you leave the Gentiles and you go back with the Jews. And he said, you know that ain't right. He turned around to the Galatians. He said, oh, foolish Galatians. He said, who's bewitched you that you should not obey the truth of Jesus Christ? Before whose eyes Christ was placed, put forth and evidently crucified. Who's warned you? I mean, who's perverted you? Who's bewitched you? Who's caused you to feel like this? No, he said, brethren, that ain't right. He said, if the law can justify people, then Jesus Christ died in vain. He said, we already had the law. Moses gave us the law. But grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Now listen, my, what a revelation he had. I wish tonight I could bring it out to you the way God gave it to me. I really do. It is unbelievably fantastic what he saw. Jim, I'd have never dreamed that Paul ever seen anything like God showed me. But I know he did. What was it? At Calvary, Paul preached a sermon about the woman being dead and then being free to be married to the other husband. Is that right? Speaking of the law, Jesus and the Christ, the veil rent in twain. You know how I teach it? Made himself twain, both Lord and Christ. And the veil rent in twain, and the Lord went one way into Christ one another. The separation of the body and the spirit, the separation of the man and woman in the garden. Until bodily redemption come in when Jesus would come back and pick up his body, which was his bride. How do you know we're his body? Sure, someday he's coming back and pick it up. But at death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. Is that right? Record yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, unto the law, by the body of Jesus Christ. You listening? Paul said, look at here, Peter. Don't you know that Jesus died at Calvary to make an end of the law? And that we are not under the law anymore? Said, don't you know that the scripture tells us that there was a bondsmaid and a free maid? The revelation shows it to us, Peter. Is that right? What did it say? He said, in that bondsmaid, the son of that bondsmaid was born. Then the son of that free woman was born. And he said, Peter, what saith the scriptures? Cast out the child of the bondsmaid. You're not going to be out with my child. Paul said, well, who was she talking to? What was Sarah talking about? New Jerusalem. Coming down from God, Brother Ben used to say. Not going to be heir with me. Are you following me? Cast out the bondchild. Did they cast him out? Sure. At Calvary, when Jesus was crucified, the Jew was the bondchild. He was cast out of the presence of God. Paul said, Hagar answers to Mount Sinai, where the law was given, and said the law was to all Jerusalem with the ritualistics of the fathers, of the tradition of the elders, and said they're in bondage to traditions, blinded and cut off under the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Is that right? Said cast out the bondswoman and her child. In other words, cast Jerusalem out. Cast that intellectual child out. Laws and ritualistics and quotes. Come on, folks. Says she won't be heir with his child. Why? How could he? How could he? How could that which is natural be heir with that which is spiritual? Paul said, we are not in the flesh, but we're in the spirit. We are quickening spirits. We pass from death unto life. Why? Because we are dead to the law. We are dead to the law. Now listen, we are dead to the law. The law has no power over us. It has power over man as long as he lives. But brother, I'm dead. I'm buried with Christ in baptism. It's not I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth. And who is Christ? The free child. The free child. What do you mean the free child? I mean he died to the law. Now he's dead to the law. Now he's alive forevermore to grace. He paid the penalty of my wrong. But it's no more I that live, but it's the free child that's living. The mind of Christ is in me. I'm born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. There is no sickness in this body. The law has no power to cause me to be sick. Death comes by the law. You're talking about deliverance. Death comes by the law. Sickness comes by the law. Heartaches and sorrow come by the law. It's the penalty, the judgment upon them that is sin. For all is sin comes short of the goodness of God. No flesh shall be justified by the law. Even Jesus, great is the mystery of godliness, for God manifested in the fleshly body of Jesus Christ, but couldn't be justified in the flesh, though he kept every jot and tittle of it. Why? Because no flesh could be justified by the law. Then how was he justified? To be our example, justified in the Spirit. Seeing of angels caught up into heaven. Is that right? He could not be justified by the law, though he kept every jot and tittle of it. Is that right? No flesh shall be justified by the law. Are you listening? But he was justified in the Spirit. Why? Because he was a quickening spirit. We don't know him anymore after the flesh. But we know him as a quickening spirit. I don't know him as a sinful Jesus. I don't know him as something God made sin, rejected and despised. I know him as the resurrected Christ that lives forever, that sits on the throne of his inheritance. Ooh, I feel good, don't you? He's alive. Ooh, I like that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then who are we? Who are we? Who are we? You just said that you was his body. Where is his body? Resurrected from the dead. As men has been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. Not you living, but Christ is living. You're dead and buried in baptism. Your sins are gone. If your sins are gone, your sickness is gone. Your sorrows, your heartaches, your defeat. Old age is gone. You're young and alive forevermore. Jesus wasn't old and decrepit. Jesus wasn't sick. Jesus the Christ was alive. I know he bore infirmities as the Jesus. But when he come up as the Christ, he had not one spot, not one wrinkle, not one blemish. Amen. When he picked that body up out of the grave, there's nothing wrong with it. He had done nailed it all to Calvary. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you mean that man of sorrow acquainted with sin and sorrow and shame, you mean he nailed all that to the cross? Then when he come up, he didn't have to bear any more of that? My brother, he didn't just nail that to the cross for him. He nailed it to the cross for me. He took my sorrow, my shame, my sickness, my heartaches, my woes. Your sickness, your heartaches. He nailed it to the cross. He bore my shame. Hallelujah. Why did he do that? So he could turn and say, Brother John, grace and peace be unto you, my brother. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men by Calvary. From now on, God's not angry with you. From now on, God doesn't look on you in judgment. From now on, God's not looking for your faults. But God looks at you in grace and mercy and in love, my brothers and sisters. In his sight, you're without spot. You're without wrinkle. You're without blemish. You have no faults in the sight of God. What are you talking about, Brother Pike? I'm talking about faith. My brother, this is the kind of preaching that you have to believe. When you know that God has nailed it all to Calvary, you can believe in the grace of God. What must I do to work the works of Christ? The Bible said the works was finished from the foundation of the world. I am the works of God. Believe on me whom the Father has sent. Hallelujah. My sins are gone. They're underneath the blood at the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, you're free today. You're the free child. Free from what? He that the Son has made free is free indeed. Free from what? Free from sickness. Free from sorrow. Free from nerve condition. Free from headaches. Free from sin and corruption. Free from poverty. Free from insanity. Free. Forever free. Why? Because on this side of Calvary, it's heaven. Amen. And this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. And the fruits of Canaan I see. I'm over Jordan. Jordan is a carnal mind of death. It's been nailed to Calvary. He nailed it to Calvary. He took it out of the way. What should I do? Rejoice forevermore, my son. Let not your heart be troubled. I've overcome the world. Overcome the world for who? For Brother John Lane. Why then be troubled? It can't be but one thing, unbelief. You don't believe what the word says. You don't believe that he was hanging upon a tree and become a curse for you. You don't believe in the deliverance of Christ. That's why some people are blessed and some are not blessed. Some believe in the grace and mercies of God. You know why they believe? Because they try to keep their lives straightened out so they can believe. Some of you play around on God, won't be loving and won't be sweet, full of gossip and backbiting and hatred and malice, covetous lust. And condemnation kills your faith. That's why you can't believe. Brother, it isn't because God hasn't appropriated the funds. It isn't because God hasn't given it to you. It isn't because it isn't available. It isn't because God's respect a person. It's because you won't straighten up your crooked lives. The Bible said, make straight paths for yourself, that which is lame be not turned aside, but rather let it be healed. The work is finished. Grace is here. We pass from death unto life. All things are ours. We're up in the heavens with God, chosen out of this world and hid with Christ in heaven. Got everything. It's all over. We made it. We made it. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, it's too good to be true, but it's true. We made it. Somebody said, but if that's true, Brother Pike, we made it back at Calvary. I know that. But how many remember that about the pardon? You remember that? Was it Abe Lincoln that sent the pardon to the man that had the penalty unto death? Sent the pardon. They went in and read it, but the man didn't believe it. So they took him and they killed him. And it caused a big stir in the courts. And finally the resolution was that a pardon is not a pardon unless it be accepted. If God gave me a pardon and he gave you a pardon and I've read the pardon to you, then you've got to believe it. I'm pardoned from sin and death. Jesus signed my pardon. I can now go free. Can you understand what I'm saying? Folks, it's over. It's finished. We made it. Oh, Brother Pike, it couldn't be finished. But the Bible said, Jesus said, folks, it's finished. Somebody said, but the end of the world. Peter said, you are the people upon whom the end of the world come. It's finished. For in the fullness of time, when was that? Back at Calvary. God sent forth his Son. Born of a woman, made under the law. When? In the fullness of time. When? The end of the world. When? When God finished it. Somebody was saying, wait a minute, Brother Pike. If that was the end of the world, then why is the world around us? Oh my, you don't know that? Solomon said one generation comes, another goes, but the earth? Come on, folks. When you say the end of the world, don't you know you're talking about a system? Do you mean to tell me that God's going to do away with the world itself? No. The Bible speaks of worlds without end. Is that right? Peter said they're ignorant of this one thing. I told you the end of the world was here, Peter said. He said, but you're ignorant of this one thing. When the end of the world come, there's no one over to the new earth. But it was still the same world. Peter said, one generation comes, another goes, but the earth abided forever. The end of that system is here. The end of that world. The end of that government. My brother, this is the government of Jesus Christ. The manifestation of the sons of God. The fullness of time came. He said, it's finished. Now he that heareth my words and believeth on me, he is passed from death unto life. It was finished there, and it took us a long time to believe it, hasn't it, folks? Somebody said, well, why didn't I believe it back then? Because I wasn't born back there. That was all right for them folks who was born back there, but I'm born over here. And they told me about it back there. And I believe it. I believe it. So then it's finished. It's over. I made it. Somebody said, but Brother Pine, how is it that we made it? Because we found out about it. Somebody said, but wait a minute. It would have made no difference if we never found out about it. If we'd made it, we'd made it. No, a pardon's not a pardon unless you believe it. You got to hear it read and then believe it. So then the world ended for who? It ended for you and I. God shortened the days for the elect's sake and translated us into the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. You understand what I'm saying? The kingdom preached in all the world for a witness, then shall ye come. What is the kingdom? Christ within you, the hope of glory. So then it's over. What was the message? It was the preached in the end time. That it's over and finished. Explain the benefits of what you are and who you are and what you got and where you are. Translated. Someone said, I'm waiting on the rapture. Well, I'll tell you what. I ain't waiting on it. I'm in it. Ooh. I'm in it. From glory to glory. I'm changing. I'm moving with God. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Branham said the countdown. I got the book the other day, the countdown. He preached it a long time ago and it's just now getting around to the countdown. You understand what I'm saying, folks? In other words, when the time comes to preach it and the message is made known, you preach it and the people believe it, and then their inheritance is effective. How? By witting the redemption. Can you wit it? Can you hear it? Can you understand it? Can you believe it? That God is sanctified, justified, and glorified? That he's translated us into the kingdom? Caught us up into heaven? That he's made us without spot, wrinkle, or blemish? Somebody said, but that's what the preaching is for, Brother Pye. To preach us away from all them spots and blemishes. That's true. But not by telling you to quit chewing, quit dipping, and quit smoking. Paul said the perfecting of your faith, that is to preach the word. And when you hear the word, you believe. And your faith becomes perfect by the perfect understanding that's preached. The spots is gone by Calvary. Sure, I can't do nothing for you to sanctify you. You're already sanctified. All I can do is preach sanctification to you and get you to believe it. And then when you believe it, you are to it. So then we don't have any spots. We don't have any wrinkles. We don't have any blemishes. God has perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's us. Sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. The faith of Jesus Christ by which ye are sanctified. You like that? I said he didn't use your faith to sanctify you. Brother, he got down in a human body and he himself manifested the faith that was necessary to overcome sin, and he sanctified us by living holy in the body of Jesus. That faith never wavered one time till he finished what God wanted. When he finished living that life and never wavered one time, God looked down at that spotless body and said, son, that faith that you held up till you were 33 years old is sufficient, lest stealer by your death. It's finished. We are sanctified by his faith. Kept under the law. Shut up. Under the law. Under tutors. until the time appointed to the Father, unto the faith of Jesus Christ, which was afterwards to be revealed. Now, are we all children of faith in faithful Abraham? That means, brother, that all we got to do is believe. How can you live in this day and know that you can believe blind eyes to be open and deaf ears unstopped and the lame to walk and build an empire for God just by faith? How can you live in this day and not believe that? How can you live and know that and not be excited? Believe whatever you will, Jesus said, say it. Believe it in your heart. Don't do it, I'll do it. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Believe it in your heart. Don't doubt. That man will have whatever he says. How do you feel like saying some things? Decree a thing in your heart and it'll come to pass. If you decree it in your heart, don't waver. Whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it. You shall have it. Is that right? That's what Jesus explained to them apostles. That's why they had the perseverance. They knew that no matter how many hardships and trouble come, that they were free. It didn't make no difference about their ups and downs. My brother, they knew it was over and finished and they had made it. So I'm going to say this in closing. Why gossip? Why backbite? Why find fault? And let the little frivolous things of your life cause a condemnation in your life to keep you from that great faith and freedom and beauty and power that God has appropriated for you in Christ Jesus. Why do that? Ain't nothing keeping you from it but your unbelief. Somebody said, well, when I pout, it keeps me from it. Indirectly, your pouting keeps you from it. Indirectly, your puffing on cigarettes keeps you from it. What do you mean indirectly? I mean it's already yours. It don't matter if you puff 50 million cigarettes. Curse every day. It's still appropriated in Calvary for you. If you'll repent of your evils and believe it. But you can't believe until you forsake those evil things. So it's not something you do to get up unto it, my brother. Paul said it's faith without your works. But old brother James said, now that God has done it, you're going to have to straighten up your crooked life to get to the place to where you can believe so you'll be partakers of that faith. It's going to take a little works on your part for your faith to get you straightened out to where you can believe in it and move the condemnation. How do you understand what I'm saying? Contend for the faith. That's the contending. In other words, you got to quit gossiping. You got to overcome this body. You overcome this body, you ain't got to worry if it'll work. You ain't got to wonder if it'll work. You ain't got to wonder if you've got enough faith or enough power to do it. There's enough faith. There's enough faith. Plenty of faith back there. And you got power. He said, I give you power of all the powers of the enemy. That's the Holy Ghost. You got the power, but it's in your spirit. But you got to charge this old battery. It's dead. You got to get the things out of your life. Cut off the parasites. Let that faith, that virtue on the inside come into this body. Then they can get the virtue from you. Be filled with the Spirit. You see what I'm talking about? So then, to clear up your thoughts here, remember, it's faith, your faith giving heed to receive something. But to believe that you're going to receive, you got to straighten up your crooked life or you'll never make the translation or be healed. Or receive anything of God. But I say this again. If you don't receive it, it isn't because it is freely given to you. Because it is. It isn't because you don't have faith to reach it. Because the faith is in Him. It's because that you will not straighten up your crooked deeds so that you can have a confidence, John spoke of, without condemnation, that you might be partakers of that faith and benefit. All right, let's stand together. I really appreciate you, the patience that you've had today and tonight, because I've kept you a little long tonight too. And I try not to keep you long, and I'll do my best not to keep you this long, but I felt like that God wanted me to get a few thoughts over concerning faith tonight. Now, I hope that you can believe. I hope that you can enjoy your benefits. Go forth, children of God. Take the kingdom. Go on out there and take what's yours and enjoy it. Start enjoying it. You don't have to work, do nothing to get to it. It's already yours. Just go out there and start enjoying it. The only thing is don't bicker and backbite and fuss and find fault. If you do, condemnation will cut you off from it. But go on out there and just be what you are. Start enjoying it, thank God for it, and live in it. It's yours. Let His will be done on earth as in heaven, because His kingdom has come.
the law and the prophets till John, since that time the kingdom has been preached. Men pressed their way into it.
Amen.
The setting up of the kingdom throughout the world, then shall the end come. Set up by who? The sons of God.
Hallelujah.
Being about our Father's business. What is his business? Preaching the kingdom of God. Let's sing a little chorus together. This is why that I triumph through grace. David said, I know that the Lord favors me because my enemies don't triumph over me. He always makes a way for me. This is why that I triumph is because God opened my mind to his benefits. And in his benefits, I see my liberties. I see my strength. I see my prosperity and blessings. I see my inheritance. I believe it. And I try to, Paul said, I strive always to keep my conscience void of offense toward man and God. Why did he do that? So he could enjoy his benefits. That's all that's required, is to try always to keep your heart void of offense toward man and God. That's the only works he requires. If you just do the things that keeps your heart void of offense toward your Savior. The Bible said Jesus did always the things that pleased the Father. That's what made his faith perfect. You got to keep it void of offense toward man. The Bible said that if you forgive not man his trespasses from your heart, God won't forgive yours either. But if you can keep your conscience void of offense toward your brother and sister, don't say nothing about them. Don't talk about them unless you say something good. Unless you say something constructive. Unless you say something in concern. You say, but Brother Pike, they're such and such. I know that, so are you and me. Paul said such was all of us till we was washed in the blood. But ain't that the people that we're looking for? Look at it like this. They were a whole lot worse when they were out yonder and you went after them. Now that we got them in the circle and they've made some advancement toward the kingdom, because they still got a few faults, are you going to kick them overboard after you went to all that trouble to get them? Bible said if God so loved us when we were in our sins that he was willing to die for us, how much more does he love us now that we're already trying to serve him?
Amen.
My, he must really love us now in spite of all of our errors. He loved us that much when we didn't care nothing about him. I sang this little chorus. Go leave it there. Go leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If you trust and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. The Lord and leave them there. Sing it with me. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain and you have to get a long Omega fare, just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
I'm going to ask you, while we sing another verse or two, if you will, I want you to gather around the altar. And we're supposed to have the meeting down in Mississippi, in the lower part of Mississippi. I don't know what the date is on it. I guess Brother Atlin M. knows. They probably already got the brochures printed up on it. I don't know what it is. Friday night. It starts next Friday night down in, is that Leaner? Good Hope, Mississippi. Now, we was down there many, many years ago in the Assemblies of God. A pretty big church. And the Lord filled it up. He not only blessed us in preaching, but the supernatural was working down there. Long then, we pressed the supernatural a lot because we didn't know that much about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And people liked that, and they really come out, and the building was filled up. And some supernatural things took place, and it shook the people up, and they never forgot it. And they plead with us to come back into the area. So they're going to set a little tent down there. And as far as I know, we're going to go down there and preach. And then, if I understand right, the following week, is that right, Brother Zale? The following week, we don't have a date on the Charlotte meeting. The following week, we don't have a date on the Charlotte meeting, but the following week, then the tent will be set over in Charlotte, and we'll have a meeting in Charlotte. I know a lot of you want to go up to the Charlotte meeting because it's not too far from some of you's hometown. And I'm sure that some of them from the hometown will probably come down to the Charlotte meeting. But I'm looking for a wonderful meeting over in Charlotte and also in Mississippi. And if you feel like going, I'm not going to ask you to go because you might not feel like going and I could get you out there and you might have a wreck. So I'm not going to ask you to go. But if you feel to go and you feel it's safe and you feel it's in the will of God and you don't feel any drawing back from it and you feel like everything will be all right, then it will please me well if I see you at the meeting. Now, I love you. From the bottom of my heart, I love you. And I appreciate every one of you. The young people, the elderly people, the middle-aged people, the little folks. I love you. Our flock is still growing and I believe it will continue to grow. Many people are getting their eyes on Little Bethlehem and on Christ. And I believe that it will continue to grow if we continue to pray and God will continue to do things for us. A lot of people that's had the wrong idea about us, the wrong thoughts about us, have innocently been overtaken in fault and have said things against us for which they're sorry. They're coming and telling me that they're sorry, that they didn't mean to do that. We had a long talk with Brother Taylor last night, and he was real satisfied when he left. All of the questions that he had in his heart, they were answered. And even to the extent that his own son agreed with me. Hallelujah. And he got up when we finished and put his arms around me and said, I love you, Brother Pike. He said, I really believe that we ought not be fussing. We ought to be brothers and love each other. And I really believe that. So, people make mistakes. They get out from under the presence of the Shekinah. And when they do, the devil begins to talk with them. But we just have to help wash them clean, keep them, you know, in our love and consideration till they can get strong and see. So let's pray for the meeting and pray for the people. Pray that God will help us. I need your prayers. I really need your prayers. From my heart, I need your prayers. I ask you to pray for me. When you're at home, pray for me. Call my name and say, Lord, help Brother Pike. Paul said, pray for me that doors will be open to me, that I can preach the gospel. Our brother from over in Marysville, Tennessee, talking about a man child being born and the folks from Marysville come in. But we had a good conversation today. See, way over there in Marysville, he's been blessing us with his finance. He sent $40 in the offering the other day. Said the tapes has been a blessing to him way over in Marysville. And ask if Brother Bill would send him the tapes. So let's labor together. Let's do something. If I can do something for you, I will. And if you can do something for me, you do something for me too. Let's pray for our brother Lyman. He needs strength. He needs help. I want you to sing that chorus again. Leave it there. I want us to sing it again. And I want you to think while you're singing, I want you to search your heart. And just say, Lord, am I really in the faith? You said examine yourself and see if you're in the faith. Lord, am I really in the faith? The boy that just committed suicide, that came down from Indiana, did every one of you give him a testimony or reach him or make an effort? Did you? Did you? Or did he slip through your fingers while you was finding fault with him and with me and with others? Did you do something? Did you tell him something that might help him believe in Brother Pike and Jesus so that I could reach his soul? Or did you say something to him that caused him not to want to come to this church? And if he is in hell tonight, are you responsible? Do you have the blood on your hands? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, there's one thing about it. I'm going to do right. But there's a good possibility if you caused him to go to hell, you won't be able to do right. When you get there, the blood will be on your hand. That might have been your chance to do right. Are you talking to somebody to keep them from going on with God? Are you going to have blood on your hand? Folks, don't do it. Don't do it. If you don't believe, keep your mouth shut. Go on your way and leave the others alone. Be wise. Let's sing a little chorus together. Let's sing Leave It There one more time, can we? Go leave it there. Go leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Sing it again. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on mega fast, just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. I want to dedicate this baby. Tonight we want to dedicate the baby. Somebody brought us some Passover crackers today. I believe it was Tommy. Tommy the little book. And tonight we're going to dedicate, is it Joshua Aaron? Joshua Aaron. We're going to dedicate him tonight. Sound like he's got good lungs. Make a good preacher on him. We're going to dedicate him tonight. Now, don't you ever say anymore there's not a Joshua here. Hallelujah. I'm going to hold him here in my arm. He's just a little tiny thing here. I don't know if you can see him or not, but he's a little one. Okay, now let's pray together. Precious, wonderful Father of Heaven, Lord, as I hold this little child in my arm, I dedicate it to Thee tonight. You gave it to these people, they give it back unto Thee. Lord, that You may feed it when it's hungry, clothe it whenever it's in need. Oh, God, watch over it all the days of its life. Make its enemies to be at peace with it, oh God. Father, when fear comes upon it, console its little heart. Stand with it, Jesus. All the days of its life, let them bring it up in the admonition of the Lord Jesus. Father, bless this dad. Bless this mother. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus for your glory. Amen. Praise God. You love the Lord? There's one thing about it.
Whether you believe it or not, we just heard the voice of Joshua. God's good, ain't he? I wonder if we can sing one more chorus. But before we do, I want to pray for you. I want you to slip up your hands. And I want to pray for you tonight. Now I want you, every one of you, to believe especially for Brother Lyman tonight. I want you to turn your faith in the behalf of our brother tonight. And I believe God's going to do something for him. I feel like he needs strength. And I want you to pray and I want you to believe. Father of heaven, in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to remember Brother Lyman tonight. Oh God, I feel you doing it right now. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the faith of the people, Father. In the name of Jesus tonight, heal our brother. God, as I feel the virtue coming from the body of Christ, going into Brother Lyman, heal him, Jesus. Father, give him strength tonight. Oh God, to be strong to overcome. Meet his need tonight, Jesus. Oh God, stand with him. The wonderful name of Jesus tonight. Every person here tonight, old and young alike, Father, those that have not surrendered their hearts to God, I pray that this night that they'll surrender their heart to God. And I pray that this night, God, that their lives will be turned toward thee. And they'll realize the great yoke is broken and the great freedom, Lord, they now have. And Father, that you'll help them to believe in healing, believe in salvation, believe in eternal life, believe in their freedom, to be strong, healthy people for a testimony. The deliverance of God by faith in the atonement of what you've done for them. Help them to believe in it, Jesus. Oh God, and the liberties of the sons of God wherein we've been called. Heal them, save them, forgive them. Make them strong in Jesus' name. Okay, I want to sing one more chorus with you. The little chorus, I'll give the glory to Jesus. You know, I'm just a helper of your faith. That's all that I am. Paul said, we're just helpers of your faith. We wish this even the perfecting of your faith. That is, you're believing in what he has done for you. We wish that. As we tell you your inheritance and your liberties, then we wish that you would believe in it with all of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know how to trust in the Lord with all your heart? Believe with all your heart. That's trust in God. When you believe in something, you're trusting in it. Isn't that right? So your trust is faith. Have faith in God with all your heart. What is God? The Word. Believe in the Word with all your heart. If the Word says you heal, rejoice in it. If the Word says you're saved, rejoice in it. If the Word says you're sons of God, rejoice in it. If the Word says you got power over all the powers of the enemy, including death, rejoice in it. Hallelujah. Rejoice in it. Jesus said, rejoice forevermore. The Bible said there was great joy in that city. Because they believed. Let's sing this little chorus together. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus and sing of his wonderful love. Now I want to ask you a question. Can this be of the devil? Come on, folks. I'll tell you what. If the devils are going to do what you're doing, they're going to have a good time. If the devils have the benefits that you believe in, they're going to have a lot of company. This can't be of Satan.
How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. To rejoice in him. To give him the glory, to lift up praise to his worthy name. To thank him for all of his benefits. Let's sing it again, can we? Sing it. If you really mean it, don't sing it like you mean it. Sing it because you mean it. So if you really mean it tonight, you really believe in him, you really love him, in spite of all of your condemnation, all of your hurts, all of your distortions, all of your mistakes, you just fall on his breast and say, Jesus, my God, what have I done? Lord, forgive me. I love you, Jesus. I'm going to trust you. I believe you'll love me and forgive me, Jesus. And just fall on him, trust him with all your heart and forget those things that are behind. Can you do it? You'll be a happy folk if you do. Underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. Let's sing it, can we? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus.